Greetings. This is Ziggy, and you're listening to the Starbright Project.
Network podcast about one of the greatest TV shows ever created, Quantum Leap. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Moss. I have been a Quantum Leap fan since 1989. I discovered Quantum Leap through my mother. I was in my room at the time when my mom came in and told me there was a show that I needed to watch since it was about time travel. So I turned on NBC and settled in to watch my first episode. Man, I was hooked. Watched every episode. I rewatched it when it was re-aired on the USA Network and then later on other channels. Joining me is my wife and co-host, Michelle Moss.
Hello. Unlike Mr. TV...
Hey, I resemble that.
I can't say that I had the same experience. I may have seen 2-3 episodes, and what I did see, I thoroughly did enjoy. When I met Aaron, it was one of those moments that surprised him when I told him that I actually knew of the show. Though, I didn't tell him how little I had actually seen. Here it is 14 years later, and now I'm watching each episode in order, one by one, as if it was a new primetime TV show, and I truly am excited. I do hope my inexperience will bring some nostalgia back to some of the old fans as I relive some of the mysteries and ask some questions you may have once asked back when you took your first leap with Sam and the rest of the Starbright Project crew.
Join us monthly as Michelle and I settle in and watch the entire run of Quantum Leap. I'm the Quantum Leap, I guess, expert on the show.
And I'm going to be the one asking a lot of questions, but hopefully helping reignite people's love for the show through a fresh pair of eyes. And we can experience it together on the Starbright Project podcast.
And welcome to the Starbright Project. This is our 2023 Christmas special. I know it's been a few months since we've been out with new episodes, but they're coming out soon, and this is going to start it off. And as usual, joining me is my beautiful wife, Michelle.
Hello, hello, hello.
And also joining us from the land of Australia is our beautiful co-host, Hayden.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under.
Sun's out, guns out. It is summer here.
Yep, yep.
As I'm sure many of our listeners will be very, very confused about. In fact, I heard a little controversy from America about our masterpiece that we export over to America called Bluey. Have you seen that?
No.
I was looking at that on Facebook today.
Yeah, Bluey is a cartoon about some blue heelers, and which is an Australian cattle dog, by the way. Yeah, apparently Americans were up in arms when it got to the Christmas episode because they couldn't figure out why there was no snow in the Christmas episode.
Well, I think it's because the Christmas snow was on your Australian hat that you've got going on there.
Oh, true, true. Yeah, well, that doesn't represent snow, though. That's every person that I offend. Every time I offend someone, I get a new snowflake on my hat.
Yeah, because you get any bigger hat. For listeners out there, when we first, Hayden first showed up on camera, our daughter was sitting next to us and she goes, why is he wearing a tank top? I said, it's because it's summertime in Australia. And, you know, that's just a really foreign idea to like us people over here.
Well, you'll have to come down here for an Aussie Christmas at some point.
No,
we'll go to the beach on Christmas Day.
We'll go
to the beach. We'll have prawns.
New.
You know, prawn cocktails and lots of seafood. And what else can we do? We'll, you know, chase each other with super soakers. And
you lost
so much fun. Seafood.
Yeah, you lost me at heat. Yeah. You could come here during the summer and try our heat and see, you know.
I don't know. The Aussie heat's pretty bad.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know how American heat would compare to Aussie heat, but be interesting to find out. At least it's not tropical heat.
Yeah.
I was in Thailand a few months ago, and yeah, that's like being in a sauna 24/7.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. It's like getting hit with a wet towel in your face.
Yeah, it doesn't get that bad here. Depends where you're at. Yes. I know in Kansas, Missouri, the area, in the summertime, it gets really humid out there.
Yeah, Georgia, Atlanta, the Carolinas, that's all super humid too.
I love how you expect me to know where any of those places are.
It's different. It's outside of California, so that's all you need to know.
Back east.
Further east of the country.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Missouri is about the center of the country. And the other way she was mentioned, like on the east coast.
Cool. Well, anyway, for our listeners who might not know, we got together with Albie from the Quantum Leap podcast and a bunch of our friends from several other places, other podcasts, other Quantum Leap related miscellanea, and did a Christmas party sandwiching in our A Little Miracle stuff between some new stuff that should be out pretty soon. But since we were in the Christmassy mood, I thought it might be a lot of fun for us to watch the other two somewhat Christmas related episodes of Quantum Leap as well. And they are It's a Wonderful Leap and Promised Land.
I'm going to start off. It's a Wonderful Leap. This was a season 4, episode 18 episode. This was directed by Paul Brown. The story was by Danielle Alexandra. And the teleplay was by Danielle Alexandra and Paul Brown.
Yeah. And also Liz Torres, who played Angelita, she also did a fair amount of writing for this episode too.
Very nice.
She is actually the one in charge of writing a lot of the jokes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She wasn't...
apparently the people who made the story weren't very funny. And so when they casted Liz Torres, we're like, oh, we do think you're very funny. Do you want to brainstorm some ideas of some jokes for us? And she thought, oh, yeah, well, we'll do that. They had a great time, laughed all the way through. And she thought at the end, they might put in one or two. And apparently she was absolutely floored when every single joke they came up with ended up in the episode.
Very nice. Yeah, she's not credited on Wikipedia, unfortunately. I wish she was. That'd be nice to know.
Yeah.
The leap location and date was May the 10th, 1958 in New York City. And this originally aired April the 1st of 1992. Merry Christmas Leap.
It's kind of like Quantum Leap's trying to do a Christmas episode without it being a Christmas episode.
Yep.
Yeah, there's little sprinklings of Christmas things in there if you're paying attention. But otherwise, it could be watched, you know, other times of the year and not really seem like you're supposed to be watching it at Christmas.
Well, see, but the title itself to me screams out very much Christmassy, so I'm surprised this wasn't their Christmas time episode.
Yeah.
Anyways, the synopsis real quick for this. Sam is a New York City taxi cab driver named Max Greenman, played by Ross Partridge, who's trying to earn enough money to get his and his father, Lenny, played by Jerry Adler, their own taxi medallion. Along the way, his cab runs over Angela, played by the aforementioned Liz Torres, who is completely unhurt. Angela claims to be an angel and can see Al, pretending to believe him to be the devil. And another note on this, Scott Bakula's future Star Trek Enterprise co-star Vaughn Armstrong has a cameo role as Fred Trump.
Nice.
So let's go and talk about It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, It's a Wonderful Leap.
Well, Michelle, have you seen this one before? Or
no,
is this your first
but
time?
It's not Angela, it's Angelita.
Yeah, it's actually Angela or Angelita. Yeah.
Angelita.
Yeah.
So you might want to fix that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Reading.
I think everyone knows pretty much what Aaron means. So.
Well, she's also referred to as Angela, and that's what Wikipedia has her listed as.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's essentially spelled the same way. It's a G that makes a H sound. Angela.
I'm a white boy. It's Angela.
Angelita.
Anyways, so,
or for you, Angela.
Angela, there you go. Angela. So anyways, Michelle, this is your first time watching this episode. I know you've watched the a late night show did Sam in the taxi trying to fix the whole Donald Trump thing.
You mean Saturday Night Live?
Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was what night late night show. Maybe it was Stephen Colbert. It was one of those shows.
I'm pretty sure it was Stephen Colbert. I can look it up. Hang on.
I know. I think you've seen that one before.
Yeah, you guys showed
and
me.
And this is where this comes from. So,
right,
Michelle, your initial thoughts on "It's a Wonderful Leap"?
I liked it. I liked actually better than any of the other Christmas ones. Even though it, to me, I kind of had that same thought process where I was like, "Is it really a Christmas episode?" But because I watched it during Christmas time, I guess my brain kind of makes that association. And then the title, though I do not like It's a Wonderful Life. I don't like that movie. It's just horrible. And so I kind of had some
trepidation
of watching it. Yeah. Like, I wasn't too sure. I was like, great. Like, if they're going to do that, and, you know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. It's like nails on a chalkboard. So, and what's funny is because Aaron likes that movie. My dad loves that movie. No, I enjoyed it. When she first showed up and I looked at her, I was like, I think it's kind of interesting that she's wearing like flapper attire in that time frame. So like that was like little red flags were going off left and right. But I enjoyed it for what it was worth.
Yeah.
What about you, Hayden?
Well, you were talking about It's a Wonderful Life and that we associate that with Christmas. Is that actually a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I don't know if they actually mention Christmas at all in it, or do they?
They're decorating a Christmas tree.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that's
Christmas time. I mean, it could be set at any time. I consider it a Christmas movie just because it's always on at Christmas time and it's got the Christmas drapings, but the basic premise of the movie could be moved to any time of the year.
Yeah, there's nothing really Christmassy about the premise.
Except for snow and the Christmas tree.
But that has no effect on that.
That's if you associate snow with Christmas. Not all of us do.
Oh, whatever. You should.
Yeah. Well, did you happen to notice what street Sam ran over on Haler on?
Elm Street? I don't know. What?
No. 34th Street. Oh. So it was a miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah. So they were making tie-ins all the way.
Yeah. So they were trying to put little sprinklings of Christmas things throughout the episode.
Christmas sprinkles.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this real quick. But either one of you guys. Do you think they should have tied it more into Christmas?
No, I liked it this way because sometimes you just get Christmas is just such a hit you in the face holiday, and you know, maybe they were trying to reach more audience versus just the Christmas people. You know, maybe it was more than that.
And what do you think, Hayden?
Well, there's the argument that any episode of Quantum Leap probably should be able to stand alone, be watched in any order at any time, right, and not have it matter. That's essentially just the premise of the show. You know, Sam leaps in to a random place, puts something right, and then leaps out. But there is also the argument that if it had been marketed as a Christmas episode, it probably would get more airplay because it would get played every Christmas.
Right.
And, you know, and that would mean that the writer and the actors would get more residuals out of it. So I think either way is fine. It's surprising that they don't do an annual Christmas episode, in all honesty.
Right.
I mean, there's no real reason that they can't. And it appears, you know, seasons 3, 4, and 5 have a Christmas sort of adjacent episode, if you like, whether it's not specifically stated. So it looks like maybe that's what they were trying to do. Yeah, maybe if they had made it a little more explicit, it would get more airplay. I don't know. But as it is, it stands alone very well. Anyway, it's one that I always enjoy going back to because Aunt Hala is hilarious. And her interactions with Al are probably some of the greatest comedy that Quantum Leap's ever done.
Oh, God, yes. That was great.
Yeah. I do love the episodes where Al is seen by more people than just Sam because, you know, it does seem a little bit like a waste to have Dean Stockwell, you know, not show off some of his chops with other actors.
Yes.
So that's always great fun. My favorite joke is I guess there's an all-you-can-eat buffet in heaven. Well, you're never going to get there, so you're never going to know. Oh, and why is that? That is a dress code.
I love that. Yeah, they had great chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I could have seen Al and Aunt Hala as an old married couple. Yeah. I would have, you know what would have been hilarious? If Al had lost one of his wives, not through divorce, but through a death, and it turns out that she was the angel. That would have been hilarious.
Oh, that would have been. Oh, God. That had been hilarious.
Well, but maybe that's the Hungarian wife, the one that didn't have a name.
Oh, Lord. That would have been, that'd been hilarious as hell. That'd been funny.
Yeah. So one of my favorites, just because it's so rewatchable with the comedy and it's a pretty good story. I also like they incorporated some sort of like more world building to the universe as well. because ultimately the reason Unhaler is there is because there was the original history with what happened with Max getting caught up in the shooting.
Right.
But then there was a timeline where Sam was there to try and put it right, but because of the stuff up with Ziggy and the time difference, he also ended up shot. So there's this third timeline that they're in now where they've sent Unhaler the Angel to come and save Sam too. So I kind of like this, you know, world building and more timelines that seem to be in play. It seems like there's more going on, you know, behind the scenes than we actually see on.
Well, like when they were talking earlier where Sam would say, well, maybe she is an angel, but yeah, maybe I'm here to fix something she did wrong. And say, I was like, so what, you know, you're going along, angels, all these angels out there messing up and you're going along fixing all our mistakes. And Sam's like, oh, maybe. And couldn't find out it's actually the other way around. She's there to help Sam out. A little twist there.
Yeah. And I thought that was very well written.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also, you know, stuff from this episode, which does flow through into some others too. The idea of when Unhaler leaves, no one from that time will actually remember her. And obviously we see that happen with Sam. And it's funny that Al's the one who most wanted to forget her, and he's the one that stuck with the memories. But we also see in Mirror Image, essentially the same thing happens. There's Storper, who's doing the work of an angel, even though, well, I suppose he is, because he is dead.
Right.
And as soon as he puts right the wrong, he's able to leap out. And again, no one remembers him except Sam. Maybe, I've always argued that Mirror Image is just set inside Sam's head anyway.
Right.
But it could be this sort of residual effect of what he'd experienced in It's a Wonderful Leap manifesting itself in his subconscious in Mirror Image. So I thought that's kind of cool.
And see, I do like the fact that Angela does reappear. She comes back in one of the novels, An Angel's Unaware, along with Teresa Bruckner.
Yeah, it's a Teresa Bruckner, yeah. That's a pretty good book too, one of my favorites. That one and Pulitzer. And they're both written by the same lady too, Elizabeth Storm. Yeah. So how about you, Aaron? What do you think of It's a Wonderful Leap?
I love the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and I love It's a Wonderful Leap. I think it's a great episode. And I see a lot of it, the reason I like it so much is the back and forth between Angelica and Al. It just, yeah, like you said, they're like an old married couple, and they're always sniping at one another. I like when they're her and Sam's driving around talking, and Al appears like, oh, and here we have just such a pleasant time, and now the devil shows up.
Yeah. Wait, you could see him all that time? Why didn't you say anything? I was hoping if I ignore him, he would go away.
You know, I love that he was wearing a red outfit when he first appeared. And she's like, it's a devil.
You're the devil, but I don't see no horns.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Christianity, you know, you've got angels. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about being an angel and, you know, you've got the devil and that kind of thing and time, fate, whatever.
Time, fate, whatever.
Yeah.
JDF dubs.
Whatever. It seems like it'd be more just God, not time or fate, unless, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, there was a lot more writing on that aspect than time or fate or whatever. And it's not the first time that God has been what's been mentioned. So what's your thought process on that whole thing?
Well, it doesn't bother me. Like I said, it's a fictional show. I don't have a problem with fictional characters being real in a fictional universe.
But I mean, is it, whether it be fiction or whatever, however you feel about it. But what I'm asking is, doesn't it kind of take out the fate and whatever?
Time and whatever.
Yeah. Like, doesn't it kind of take that part a little bit more out of the equation?
It sort of does, but I think there's also the argument that Sam's going to forget everything at the end anyway, and he's also going to forget what happens when he leaps. It's kind of implied that when he leaps, it kind of resets his brain. So, yeah, I don't think that they particularly wanted to give it any kind of a name or make it anything very specific, because I think they want to be as approachable to as many different types of people as possible. I do agree that this one leans more into the God side of it, but there are other times when it doesn't, and I think it's fine either way. It doesn't bother me at all.
No, I'm not asking if it's bother me.
To answer your question, I think as far as the project goes, they're not convinced there's God. There's these possibilities. Did they meet that devil in one episode? Is Angela and Etika an angel? There's these questions about, there's no definite proof. So that's why I think there's being scientists, they're still willing to leave a little more open that, it could be God, time, fate, whatever, because there's no definite proof that God's moving them through time. Maybe God's not moving them through time. Maybe time or fate or whatever is, and God sent Etika to help him out.
Yeah. Or it could just be Sam's orchestrating what, is happening through the leaps, but there's something looking over him. Is there to, maybe it's not controlling the leaps itself, but it's more just looking out for Sam and making sure that he's going to be able to get through the missions. You're right that this one does lean into the God side of things, and there are some episodes as well that do that, but there are others that leave it purposely ambiguous. I think it's probably better left ambiguous.
Yeah, for this show, I would agree with that. This isn't touched by an angel or finds enough or whatever it's called.
But no, it's fine. Like I said, I think there's always meant to be this idea of spirituality and faith around the series.
Right.
It doesn't really matter how they define it, if they define it.
I was just wondering if this made it seem like they were trying to define it more, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they never really did. Even in Mirror Image, they still had no idea what it was. And even Sam was calling it God or time or fate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to find out from Al, the bartender, if he was, God, he never really said, yes, I am. He left it kind of vague. And
who are you?
Bartender.
Who knows everything?
Only God knows everything. You don't really think I'm God, do you?
You're not just a bartender.
No, that's true. I own the place, too.
Told Sam eventually, that he's the one that's doing it himself, and he could have gone home at any time. And
another thing I thought about while watching it was all the fat jokes would not fly nowadays. You know what I mean? Like,
yes and no. I think the fact that Liz Torres is the one who wrote them and she was the recipient of them, I think they could argue that it would be okay.
But yeah, but there's so much like body positivity stuff now that you've got those snowflakes that would just absolutely, with cancel culture now, like a lot of the shows, that's what they're lacking are things like this, where it was okay to make a joke in regards to the characters making a joke or being true to the character. But I know part of me kind of felt like Dean was a little bit of an asshole about that whole situation. Like as a big girl, I was just like, that's not nice. I have been the grunt to some of those actual jokes.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Does it make a difference or change your thought knowing that Liz wrote most of those jokes?
No.
That girl wrote most of those jokes. Does that change anything in your mind?
No, because I mean, it still made me feel uncomfortable.
Right. And that's fine. I was wondering.
Yeah.
I
think it's, it's one of those things where, Aaron, for instance, losing your brother in the fire, when you see things on TV that are about that, there's part of you that it makes it uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
As a kid who was bullied profusely about being overweight, and even as an adult, and even now treated a certain way because I am overweight, I don't get the kindness that sometimes people give beautiful women, and so as much as like I was like, ooh, that made me feel uncomfortable, of course I still found the jokes funny, and like I am not one of those where it's like I'm not gonna watch it because they made a joke over a fat girl, like that's not what I'm saying. But on that same note, it's funny how some of the things that get said on these older episodes, I'm like, ooh, I don't think that'd fly nowadays because people are so flippant, sensitive, and such, just snowflakes. It should be on Hayden's hat.
Yeah. Well, there is, I think, something to be said about the fact that this is set in the 1960s, wasn't it? I forget now. I think it was the 1960s. Even in the 1960s, it would have been far more acceptable in the culture to make those sort of jokes. The fact that it's a period piece might, you know, alleviate at least some of those concerns.
I've seen things that they've had to change or alter because, even though it's set in a period piece, that people don't like the language it was used or other things like that. So even though it is a period piece, I agree with Michelle that I think a lot of people would, I'm not saying they wouldn't do this type of episode, but there are a lot of people out there that would lose their mind and throw a fit. And
yeah, yeah. But I do know for a fact that Dean was an absolute gentleman to women. And you're probably right. He probably would have felt so bad saying those jokes to Liz. I could just picture the two of them before they're filming, and Liz is like, don't worry about it. I wrote these jokes. They're not going to offend me. I could just see that happening. Yeah. I would love to speak to Liz Torres, actually. I've never been able to find any contact info for her. It would be great to find out what went on behind the scenes, if anything like that, and if they did have any concerns about making fat jokes.
Well, if you ever get her on for an interview, I would love to be part of that so I could ask her that question, because
I think that'd
be interesting to know, you know, like.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say, how do you think the Married with Children reboot is going to go? With do you remember Married with Children? With
I wasn't allowed to watch it growing up, so.
Oh.
I wonder, are they doing a reboot of that? I know they've talked about
they are. They're doing an animated reboot of it.
Oh, okay, I did.
But all the original cast is doing their voices, though, so it should come out really well. I mean, that's one of my favorite shows, but there is so much fat shaming.
You know, I find it funny because I feel like you can get away with a lot more in an adult cartoon than you can in a sitcom or a TV show. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got
that's interesting.
South Park and...
Yeah. Well, look at the treatment of Meg Griffin in Family Guy, for example.
I feel like you could get away with a lot more of those kind of comments than you can in a live-action television show, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could get someone who isn't going to suffer by having that sort of joke directed at them play the voice of, you know, a recipient of it. Yeah, that's a good point. There is kind of that mental separation of, you know, the art from the people who are involved in it. Maybe I'm just better at mentally separating them because, you know, I'm a fat person as well. And I'm like, you know, Rebel Wilson in Pitch Perfect, you know, I'll call myself Fat Hayden. So you've been don't, you know, it doesn't really bother me anymore, even though it, you know, did bother me for a long, long time.
Right.
Yeah, but I have to say, Hayden, that you definitely have been working out, and really, really excited to see your transformation, and you're looking really fantastic, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah. No, since January, I've lost 20 kilos, and what would that be? That'd be about close to 50 pounds or something like that, if you need me to translate.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm a stupid American like that.
Yeah, but I'm not really so much focused on the weight loss because, you know, when you're lifting weights, you're going to be
adding
building muscle at the same time. And muscle weighs four times as much as fat does. So, like, if you lose 4 kilos and then put on as much in muscle, you're actually going to be much heavier than if you had, even though, you know, you would have looked like you've lost a lot. But yeah, I started out as a 7XL at the start of the year, and I'm down to a 1 or a 2. So yeah, long way to go still though. But no, thanks for noticing. I appreciate that a lot.
You're welcome. I mean, it takes a lot of work.
Oh, it does. Yeah. But you know, just getting into some good habits helps out a lot.
Yeah.
So,
well, then
you know, anyone watching who thinks that it's not possible, it is. Just, you know, remember that anything is better than nothing. So any movement that you do is going to help out. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to feel like you can't attain anything. You know, set little goals and try your hardest to achieve just a little bit. You know, seeing some success will help breed more success. It's a self-fulfilling cycle.
Woohoo. So when she first got hit by the car, I remember like thinking, wait, did he just hit somebody? Like, what? And I was like, that's the first time that's ever happened in the show. Like, and then when he went down and I saw, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the first time I've ever seen a real heavier woman in the show like that. And then when he tried to pull her out, I was like, oh my God, this is, I don't know. It, to me, this show just had so much visual and verbal. It was just, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And what I liked about it is even though it had that Christmassy feel, it still very much felt like a Quantum Leap episode and not a Christmas special. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And there was something about that that I enjoyed because I, as much as that is a Christmassy episode for me, I could watch it in the middle of the summer and still get the same enjoyment out of it. Now, there are Christmas movies that I can watch in the summer and get the same, but it does, it still, it loses its Christmassy feel. I'm curious to see how I'm going to react to this, you know, back when it's our summertime or the spring or whatever, when I watch it again. But when he pulled her out and I was like, man, like it reminded me of something and I can't remember like what it was, but she was just chubby. And I was like, okay, like that's different. Cause usually, you know, you don't see that in the show. Like there's really not a lot of chubbier people as part of the main cast for the episodes. Yeah. And I'm like, but there's like no tire marks on her. Like, and I'm thinking all this before, like even anything went down. I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, she's got to be like an angel or something in my head. Like I just pinpointed it right away. And I didn't know the name of the episode. Like I'm sure I heard it, but it went in one ear and out the other, like everything does. But, and then when she got up and then she's like, I can still do the Charleston when he was trying to leave her. Like, oh my gosh, that was great. And I was like, man, that woman can move. Like she was pretty good. And I don't know. I just, was she the one who was actually singing?
Yes. Yeah, she did the singing.
She definitely had a voice of an angel because I thought she was, you know, she could sing pretty well too. Yeah. So I know I could go on and on about this one. I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, it's so good. The only problem that I really had in the starting scene was in the leap in when Unhaler runs in front of the car and Sam hits her. The stunt double looked nothing like Unhaler.
You know, I didn't really pay attention at first, so I was probably busy getting like settled into what I was doing, but I'll have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, it just did not look like her once you get an idea of what she's supposed to look like.
It's like they throw like a mannequin in front of the truck or the car. And then it rolls
it over. Is a real person, but it's probably Diamond Farnsworth, the stunt double, actually.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's obviously a person, but it just kind of seemed funny that this person didn't look like Unhaler.
I like those like really cheesy TV shows. So like they throw the dummy and you see like the arms flailing when it throws. And then you see someone like run and get in the person's place and then they go, okay, start it again.
Yeah. No, it was great. I just loved the bickering between Al and Unhaler when they're trying to figure out what's the best way to proceed to try and, you know, finish the leap to find Max's dad and make sure that nothing bad happens. But did it jump out at you just how useless Ziggy was in this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of computer can't adjust for daylight savings?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or whatever the time difference was. I can't remember if it was daylight savings.
No, it was because it was time zones.
It was a time zone, wasn't it? Yeah, but still, what kind of computer can't identify, oh, they're in New York. Maybe I should be on New York time or, you know, something like that. Yeah. So, and I mean, wouldn't it appear in the records what I forget what the name of the dad was. Do you remember?
Lenny.
Wouldn't it be in the records what Lenny does? And also, why can't Al just center himself in on Lenny and find out what they're doing? Why are they going through this scene of them bickering and then this 50-50 chance that he's doing the right thing?
For the humor factor.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. They're there for some humor and to add a little bit of tension when there's very obvious solutions.
Right, and they do that every so often when the scene, they want to go for the humor or the drama factor of it. Yeah, they don't use Ziggy to his, her full
potential.
Yeah, capabilities.
Yeah, I just thought it was well worth pointing out.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I still don't understand why she was crying when she left.
Well, she didn't want to leave Sam. She liked Sam.
Yeah, she became friends with him. Even though it was a short period of time, she became good friends with him. And knowing that Sam's not going to remember her, it's like she's losing a friend.
But she should be used to that, because she said everybody forgets her.
Right, but just because she's used to it doesn't mean she has to like it. Especially when, like, say, her and Al, even though they were constantly bickering at one another, like Hayden said, it was like an old married couple bickering where they actually enjoyed the banter back and forth. And
I don't know.
She had a special connection with Sam.
I don't know. I guess because maybe that happens to me a lot through work, because you know, I have kids that come in and I become, like, for instance, there's this one little boy that was my student this year, and all of a sudden he had to go to a new school, and like, I was bummed, but I didn't cry about it, and I really enjoyed him there, and I'm like, I probably won't ever see this kid again because he's going to a school in a different district, you know. But I don't know,
you've got to remember there is time involved there. If you go, you know, through seeing a group of kids through their entire school careers, and then they're going to graduate and leave, you're probably going to burst into tears then.
Right, but she wasn't there with him.
But she was around him more than just a couple hours a day.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of relating it to what you're talking about. It definitely happens even in education. You're going to see a lot of your colleagues start bursting into tears when the kids...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Finally graduating, yeah.
And sometimes people just have a special thing where they click. Yeah. It doesn't matter how long you've been friends, it's just you're going to miss that person.
Maybe Sam should have been the one crying because she was the first person to give Al such shit. And he would have missed that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, remember, Sam's the one that doesn't remember her now.
Yeah.
So I doubt he's going to start
But that
crying.
Was before she left.
Right.
Yeah. Al could have started crying, though, because he really wanted Unhala.
He wants everybody.
I don't know. I think that was the first woman I seen that he didn't flirt with at all.
Well, I think that the bickering is flirting.
That's what I was going to say. I think that was his way of flirting with her.
There's some people you just kind of have that sort of instant, you know, instant time when they grate you. You just want to grate them back. But that means that there is something deeper there. So. Fine line between, you know, love and hate. That's what I think.
And as I say, yep.
No, I don't know. I think that's reaching for it. But
so what did you think about Trump showing up, Michelle?
I mean,
little Trump.
I have to look at it as in regards to the time frame that the show was aired.
Right.
It would have been, oh, that's cool. That's Donald Trump. You know, he's the rich guy or whatever. Now, dude, you're going to be the most hated president, you know, like. I don't know. I say that, but there's a lot of people who like him, so it's hard to say. But
well, we've got the same issue when we watch Home Alone 2 as well.
Yep.
It's like one of the best Christmas movies around, and then Trump shows up and you're like, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot he was Trump's in this."
I don't know. I guess it's like watching something and it's O.J. Simpson and you're like, oh, yeah, you're a famous football player.
Oh, no, you're famous for something else now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. It was a neat tie-in. I love Easter eggs like that. Oh, yeah. Like, I love, you know, once again, going and watching a superhero movie with Aaron. It's like a whole new experience because you watch it and you're like me. I know the surface of like superhero stuff. And then Aaron's like over there and you hear him hee. And I'm like, all right, what was hidden in the movie? Like, he's like, oh, that sign right there is a homage to like this comic book artist. You know, the street's name is like, you know, I don't know, Schuster or something, and Schuster Avenue. And you're like, oh yeah, no, that's, you know, part of the people who created Superman or whatever.
Which reminds me, if you watch the movie Oppenheimer, there's a line in there that any Quantum Leap fan will just burst out laughing from.
We'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it's Oppenheimer says at one stage, oh, when I was young, I thought if there was a way I could combine physics in New Mexico, I would be the happiest person alive, or something like that.
I was just curious. Trump would have been 12 years old at this time.
Yeah. So what did you think of the Stephen Colbert skit?
I It's okay. I mean, you guys showed it to me then, and I was just like, okay, haha, you know, but...
Not having the reference of, the, of this episode.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you guys have made, like, it lose its flavor. I'll have to watch it again now and see, like, how much of, like, I'm like, ha, 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 you know, versus the, okay, that was supposed to be funny, sure.
Well, it was cool just having Scott Bakula back, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a shame they couldn't get Dean Stockwell to be a part of it as well, but by that stage.
Sadly.
Which is a shame, but unfortunately it happens.
Any other thoughts on this, Michelle?
I liked the part where she was in the living room and she started singing. And it was Dean Stockwell's wife's song, or she sang a song, and it was the dad's song.
Yeah, it was his wife's favorite song, and she was playing the piano.
Yes, I liked that part a lot.
That was Someone to Watch Over Me.
Yes,
I think it was. And she also sang Somewhere a little later.
Yeah, which was Dean Stockwell's and his wife's song, or like Sam's. No, Al's wife in his song, right?
I don't know. No. You're thinking of Georgia On My Mind.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Different episode. Okay.
Yeah. I thought that's...
I was thinking, is there some behind-the-scenes tidbit about Dean Stockwell that I don't know?
Yeah, I was trying to think also. Like,
sorry, Al.
I recall of him.
But... Yeah. No, that's what I was thinking. That's what she was singing. But
That would have been a good song for her to do, though. If she did want to try and convince Al that, you know, she knows more than she's letting on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought she was doing. In all honesty, that's what I thought was going on. I liked that a lot. I really liked that they showed the sun a couple of times in the actual
mirror.
Usually it's just like once, maybe like a quick little glimpse. But I liked that it was the full body shot this time. That was
Well, they haven't really been showing many mirror images in the new series, have they?
No.
It's usually only a very brief glimpse, right. And we've even had an episode where there wasn't one at all. Even though they did film it, they just didn't show it for some reason.
That's one thing, a lot of people like about is the mirror image, the mirror gag, so.
And you know another thing that I don't like that the new show doesn't do is the narration that happens.
I like the opening narration.
Yeah, I like the opening narration where he's kind of talking about what he's going through or what he's doing, or I don't know. I like that part of the show too. I like the fact of it being first person in that regard. I miss that.
Getting some of Sam's thoughts.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, because they did that for quite a few episodes at the beginning, and then they only sprinkled it in every now and then towards the end of the original series. Yeah. But you are right, because it kind of felt like he was writing his memoirs or something like that. It felt like he probably had gone home and was writing down his experience. Maybe that's the reason why they stopped doing it.
Or just reflection, like, you know, reflecting and, you know, someone who's by himself all the time, they probably start talking to themselves a lot too, you know? Like Captain's Log or whatever it is in Star Trek when he's recording at the beginning.
And don't forget too, you know, Sam's brain would have been mush by the time he was getting to mirror image, I would say, because he'd gone through the shock therapy. Mm-hmm. He'd simo-leapt with Al. He, you know, absorbs a little bit of every person he's leapt into. I'd say he's probably lost a lot of himself.
A lot of Oswald.
Throughout that time. So, yeah, he got a lot of Oswald in him as well. Maybe it's a way of him, you know, trying to maintain some of himself too.
I don't know. I thoroughly did enjoy this one. Like that one, I definitely could watch again.
Yeah. It felt like they were really being ripped off, didn't it? They have to, you know, get thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fares just to be able to get this badge, which makes them look like they're real cabbies. I mean, what kind of a scam is that?
Yeah. And $15,000 back then was like...
Yeah, that'd be like probably $100,000 in today's money.
Yeah. Like, and that was another thing that kind of blew my mind was, wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, pretty astonishing. And I'm like, well, why isn't Sam there to try and get rid of this scam? That's what surprised me too. Yeah, he's there to make sure that Max gets his medallion and doesn't get, you know, paralyzed in the process. But, you know, why is this scam still allowed to happen?
The only thing I could say that, like, it's not that I didn't like it, but I could see other people not liking it, was a lot of it was really predictable for me. Like, I figured out early on that there was something supernatural with the lady. I was like, why don't he just start his own cab company? You know, like, so there were things that went through my mind that I was like, now looking back at it, I'm like, wow, like I pretty much wrote the episode in my head while the episode was going on. But it
welcome to my world
didn't really bother me per se, but like I could see other people being like, oh, it's way too predictable. I didn't like it because it was, you know, I knew what was going to happen kind of thing, but yeah. I enjoyed it for what it was worth.
Real quick on the medallion, I was looking on Facebook, or on Facebook, on Wikipedia real quick. And apparently in 1962, the market value of a medallion was around $25,000.
What did the medallion actually do?
2005, the medallion was worth $325,000.
What exactly does the medallions do again?
It allows you to drive a cab, basically. On Wikipedia, a taxi medallion, also known as a CPNC, is a transferable permit in the United States allowing a taxi cab driver to operate. So you have to have a medallion to drive a taxi. Or at least you did.
So in that case, that means that they were working illegally all that time too.
Well, I think what it's transferable. So I think what it was is the taxi owner, they had one for the taxi. So as long as you're driving one of the taxis with it, you're fine. And that's why they were switching out taxis. And Max
and
wanted to get their own so they could start their own cab company. And they didn't have to rely on paying this cab company half their money.
I got you.
So you could be your own boss. Yeah. You could be an Uber driver.
Yes, if you had your own medallion, you could have your own taxi. And that's right. What they said, they only had enough to afford one. That's all they really needed. But yeah, you had to have that. So you have that on your taxi, and whoever's driving that taxi
is the taxi
legal to drive.
Driver. Okay.
So yeah.
So it's like putting an okay on whatever car it is.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Because that was
still sounds like a scam to me, but yeah. Not as scammy.
It just sounds like California's DMV services.
It's a government scam, but you know, it's the government.
Yeah.
Actually, that sounds like local. It's usually like bigger cities, New York, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco are the main ones that did that.
Yeah. Well, look, this episode to me is one that I'll always enjoy going back to. Always good for a laugh. The story, obviously a bit simple. Obviously some parts of it, like I said, as someone who is very engrossed in the quantum leap lore, like you or I, Aaron, we could come up with ways we could have solved this much, much easier, which makes it feel a bit like lazy writing. But otherwise, if you focus more on the jokes and more on the relationships between Sam and Al and Unhaler and a lot of the really great acting.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely one that is always worth going back to. So lots of fun. And obviously not specifically a Christmas episode, but definitely Christmas adjacent. So one you could always pull out is the silly season and have a good time, or any other time.
You know, and I also, there was one more thing I thought when I was watching it.
Yeah.
Why the hell did it take so long for you guys to let me watch it?
I thought you were just going to sit down and watch the series once the new series started, to be honest.
I don't watch a lot of TV. Like, literally, I don't, I don't really watch a lot of TV. Like, we watch one or two episodes a night of something, if we're lucky. But I will watch something, but I can only watch it in very small moderation. So it takes me a long time, usually, to get through something. Though every once in a while, Aaron's like, yes. And I also lose interest very quickly.
Well, let's want to watch that. I want to watch this, but let's wait. 6 months, 8 months down the road. Oh, you want to watch it on me? I don't want to watch it now.
Yeah, Aaron's like, do you want to watch it? No, not tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. Hey, we got this, this, and this. Do you want to watch it? No, I don't feel like watching it. 3 or 4 months down the line, you can go ahead and watch it. I've lost interest. I don't even care about it anymore. Like, yeah.
So that's saying so that she hasn't lost interest in this yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, you have my permission to go and watch a couple of episodes and let me know when you've watched them and we'll talk about them.
The only thing is, it's kind of lost its... I miss the mystery of it, you know, because I've seen so much now. And
yeah, you kind of know the general overarching story now.
Yeah.
Now it's just filling in the blanks.
So it's kind of, it kind of sucks that I don't, as much as it drove me nuts, the whole put a pin in it crap, you know, but.
Well, how about you, Aaron? Any final thoughts about It's a Wonderful Leap?
No, like you said, it's a great episode. You can watch it Christmas time. You can watch it any time of the year and it's still a great episode. Yeah, like I say, my favorite parts, like I say, was, you know, the in fighting, if you will, between Alan and Helica. And yeah, it's just, And yeah, and you have to just overlook, yeah, sometimes, and it happens throughout the series, as I said, that they forget what Ziggy can do or something just for the sake of either drama or, in this bit, this case, the comedy bits. And it's something you have to learn to accept.
Yeah.
Or let it drive you crazy.
All right. Awesome.
It's either you enjoy it or you don't enjoy it.
Yep. The next one is season 5, episode 11, Promised Land. And I was looking at the episodes last night or night before when we watched this, and Michelle's seen half of season 5 already.
Awesome. Well, that's because season 5 is when they started getting kind of gimmicky and interesting things we needed so that you have an idea about the series as a whole, like the evil and stuff.
This was directed by none other than Scott Bakula himself, written by Jillian Horhoff and Tommy Thompson, who, if I'm not mistaken, is a friend of the Quantum Leap Project.
Yes. Yeah.
The date and location of this was December the 22nd, 1971, in a little place called Elk Ridge, Indiana. Sounds familiar. And the air date on this originally was December the 15th, 1992. This was our Christmas episode.
Yeah. Obviously, this episode has Scott Bakula's fingerprints all over it, because not only did he direct it, but he also plays multiple characters.
Yep. Let me give the synopsis real quick. Sam leaps into his hometown as Willie Walters, played by Daniel Ingstrom, one of the three brothers who are robbing the town bank in order to pay off a loan. Sam must uncover the reason the bank lent the money to these farmers who could not possibly pay it back, while trying to prevent the brothers from being killed when they try to escape. And there was a note on here, again, this is from Wikipedia. The note on here, as you mentioned, Scott Bakula plays a dual role in this episode, also appearing as Sam's father, John Beckett. And this was the third and final episode of Quantum Leap directed by Scott Bakula.
Nice.
So again, pretty sure you've seen this a million times, Hayden.
A few times, yeah.
And Michelle, this is your first time we've talked about. So what are your initial thoughts on Promised Land?
I liked it too.
Say, we're 3 for 3.
I enjoyed this episode. It's funny. Like, I remember, like, back in the day, it was like every time you'd ask me if I liked an episode, I'm like, nah, I don't like it, but I still want to watch it. This was another one of those where... This one's not really a Christmas episode, is it? Oh, yeah, because he tells his dad Merry Christmas. Yeah, he says Merry Christmas. It's another one of those that are like the standalones that I feel like, as much as it's a Christmas episode, as I say in quotes, it was enjoyable. Though I will say the makeup job for him being his dad was absolutely horrific. It was gross. So.
Well, it wasn't really any different from when he was when he played his father. I love that from The Leap Home, also starring Scott Bakula as his father. But it was basically the same makeup job as it was in The Leap Home.
Yeah, so. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way it looked.
Yeah. Although, from what I remember, they won makeup awards. I think they won an Emmy Award for makeup for Scott Bakula as his father.
Hmm.
So, yeah, maybe that's just a sign of the times, at just how poor the makeup actually was in the 1990s and how much it's improved since.
No, I liked the story. I loved the help of the pregnant lady and the story about the lady who slept with the banker guy. And I liked all of the supporting characters that were involved in this one. I liked the story of the brothers. I liked the moment that he was talking to the youngest brother and he was talking about how he was scared. I loved that, actually. I liked the part where he was like, hey, he was asking the little brother, hey, are you scared? And he's like, no. He's like, well, you know what? I'm scared. And I really liked that about Sam. Sam is man enough. And nowadays, it's all about people's feelings, especially if you're in education. You know, it's very much the mindfulness of like emotions and that kind of thing. So I really feel like that was ahead of their time in that regard, because he was able to express and talk about his feelings openly. And that's definitely, you know, back then there's a lot of manly men. And I don't know, that was really neat to see that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even though this one doesn't really feel like a Christmas episode, despite the fact that it's set at Christmas time, you could see some sort of themes that you would probably see in some sort of a Christmas special, like praying for a miracle and getting it at the end, that sort of thing. But something that jumped out at me, wasn't Sam's family's farm also caught up in this scheme where the bank loaned out all this money that they could never get paid back so that all the mortgages would be foreclosed? If I remember correctly, wasn't Sam Beckett's family's farm in amongst that too?
I'm going to go back and watch Leap Home Again and see. I don't recall.
Yeah, I know they did lose the farm, but I don't know if it was involved.
Yeah, I don't recall. I'm going to have to watch that and see now.
Yeah, it made me wonder, you know, did Sam's intervention here save his own family's farm at the same time?
Well, I would say if they were involved, yeah, because they probably did get saved also then, because
right. They
went back and reviewed all the loans, and this was after Sam was there previously. It was a couple of years after his last Leap Home.
Yeah, although I could be wrong. It might have actually been that they lost it after his dad died because they couldn't run the farm anymore. I don't know.
And again, which timeline was that? I mean, that was a timeline that was before his brother got saved. I mean, yeah, his brother wasn't there to run the farm. Sam had left the farm, and his sister ran off with, you know, her husband, Chuck.
Well, you're going to meet a boy in a couple of years named Chuck.
Yuck, I can never go with a guy named Chuck.
You're going to elope with him.
So yeah, I think, yeah, that a lot of that's probably due to the fact that there was no one there to run it after their father died.
It was nice getting the confirmation that Tom had made it home.
Yeah.
After, you know, Sam had actually saved his life in Vietnam.
Yep.
And I don't know if we actually had any confirmation about that was more than implied by the events of...
Well, I think Al said at the very end that he did save Tom.
Yeah.
He did tell me, no, you saved Tom, you know, but that was the whole ending of that.
Yeah. I seem to remember a line by Sam somewhere along the way saying that he'd lost someone but then got them back. So there was that too. I think this is the first real confirmation that we've had of it.
Outside of that episode, yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the episode, yeah, they did confirm that Tom survived. But yeah, this was, I think, it's probably the first time mentioned outside of that Tom survived and went home. And I do like that they brought it in. This was like a season later. They brought up, or two seasons later, they brought up the fact that Tom had lived and got home, and loved the look on Sam's face when he's hearing that, and he knows he saved his brother. You know, like we talked about, as you said earlier, you know, each leap he kind of forgets everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, even though he's going to probably forget again when he leaps, it at least gives him some confirmation, and in his inner depth of his soul, if you will, he knows he did, you know, he saved his brother and he helped out. Yeah, no, this is a great episode. Yeah, the fact that when we were watching it, when Sam was getting caught up in the whole thing, and, you know, his older brother saying, well, you left home and you left us to fend for ourselves, and Sam was getting like really upset about that. Michelle made a comment about that, you know, how it's very hitting very close to home for Sam.
Yeah, they're basically essentially in the same boat that Sam and his family were in. And it's like one of those am I the posts on Reddit. You know, you put up the situation and find out if people think that you're in the wrong, or if you think if the other people are in the wrong, or if it's just an everybody sucks here sort right. of, or really nobody sucks. It's nobody's fault.
Right.
It's just a poor situation that everyone ended up in. Yeah, it's a good episode, this one. You know, there's a lot of corruption in banking. We even see it today. We've in Australia in the past couple of years, we've had a banking royal commission. And so much corruption has been discovered, and there have been so many class actions that have happened since then, and so many recommendations that have had to be put into place. You know, just to have the confidence that, you know, you're not going to get screwed over.
Right.
It's, you know, it's obvious that the banks don't care about their customers. All they care about are their shareholders and their pockets being lined. I liked the sort of realistic ending too, where we find out that the older brother still ends up dying later on in another, I think it was another robbery gone wrong.
Yeah.
And Al says, you can't save everyone, Sam. And I think that was an important lesson for Sam to learn. Most of the time it's all wrapped up in a little bow and everything's peachy and everyone gets the help they need, lives a long life. You know, even just some people are beyond help. And I think it's important that, you know, we do see that on the show.
You know, I've seen this episode, I don't know how many times, but I forget about that bit at the end. And so when Al's telling me, oh, yeah, he gets shot later on, another robbery, I'm waiting for Sam to do something to fix things. Because that's usually how it ends. I'm waiting for Sam to make the comment to somebody or do something to change the older brother's life. And he goes over and hugs his dad and leaves. I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad that, you know, I mean, yes, Sam got to see his dad, give his dad a hug and all that. But the fact that he wasn't able to save the older brother, you know, in the long run.
Yeah, no, I have to agree that, like, the hugging the dad part was that pulled on my heartstrings. And then hearing that the older brother still ends up dying, like, I don't know, it bothered me. And usually I'm the type of person that will throw a fit and be like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. So I don't like this episode no more. And Aaron probably was waiting for me to have that reaction. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And maybe somewhere down the track, like, they could have easily made this a two-part episode and have Sam try and help the brother out later in his life.
Yeah.
It wasn't really until the trilogy that we saw these continual leaps, like a large story arc done over multiple episodes. But if they wanted to, they could have done something like that. Mm-hmm. But we also saw a lot in season 5 in particular, this notion of success has nothing to do with leaping flowing through. It really only had little sprinkles every now and then in the previous seasons. Like, I think Tahoe Tep is an example. Vietnam as another one. It wasn't a complete mission accomplished. It was just...
Depends on what you mean by... And that's where I get held up. What do you mean by mission accomplished? I mean...
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between mission accomplished and mission complete. You know, complete means you finish it, whereas accomplished means you, you know, achieve every goal that you set out to do.
And he did achieve every goal he set out to do. No, it's just these other goals pop up later on that, you know, changes the objective as it goes along. So, I mean...
Yeah. Well, does he manage to achieve every objective? No, that's the thing. So, yeah, I think that we'd only seen little sprinkles of this success and not having anything to do with leaping flowing through. It's not explicitly stated till A Leap for Lisa. And I think part of the reason for that is because the next one, which was the season 5 opener, was Lee Harvey Oswald, where obviously he can't succeed in what they thought he was going to do. You can't rewrite real history.
Right.
So, I mean, it's obvious why they brought that rule in, but it is good to see that they had some of it, little things sprinkled around. But now they've brought it in, they've got to start utilizing it a lot more too. It's great when he does succeed, but also, you know, sometimes he can't succeed completely.
And see that, and that's where I differ from you. They think they know, but they don't know why he's there. There's no instruction saying this is what you have to do. This is what Ziggy's telling them, that, you know, more than likely you have to do this. But Ziggy's just making a guess.
And Ziggy's been wrong before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes, several times.
I don't remember the episode, and I'm glad I don't remember the episode, because that episode was just stupid.
Of course, Al kept saying that he was just there to observe what happened and see who he was working with.
Yeah, to try and solve the conspiracy.
Yeah, he wasn't there to actually save JFK. He was there just to see who was all involved with it. Yeah, he was just there to save Jackie. He wasn't, you know, so even though it may be a mission failure in quotes, I think that, again, we don't know his true purpose for being there.
There's also the possibility that because, as we found out in Mirror Image, it's really Sam who's in control of his leaping. Maybe he has to feel like he's accomplished enough to be able to leap. So it's not so much that he has to complete a set mission that GTF Dub set for him. It must be, you know, Sam has to have knowledge of what's happening and whether he feels like he's accomplished enough to be able to you know, feel satisfied that he's not needed there anymore.
And we have seen a couple of times him failing a mission and leaping to somebody else to actually complete it. The double identity, where he was in the gangster, you know, and he's like, well, how am I going to do this? And then he leaps out of the one gangster and leaps into the mob boss. He's like, okay, I'm just going to officially marry you guys. Why haven't I leapt yet? Oh, I'm just here to make sure grandma wins bingo. And then the Oswald episode where, you know, he couldn't stop. Because, again, if he hadn't been there to intervene, Oswald would have shot Jackie O also. And he couldn't stop Oswald from doing that. So that's why he leapt into the bodyguard, the Secret Service agent that was able to protect Jackie O.
Yeah. And there's also, you know, several leaps where you could consider it as being, you know, if you compare all the things that happened, still somewhat of a net positive overall from him being there rather than a net negative.
Yeah.
The first part of the trilogy is a good example. He was supposed to be there to save Abigail and Clayton, but obviously
he got caught up
in the fire.
And, that's what we're assuming.
Could only save Abigail,
And that's one thing that's came up, you know, when it comes up, you know, they say, well, what happens if Ben's host die, or Ben, if Sam's host die, well, same with Ben, if their host dies, do they die or what happens to them? And a lot of people refer to the trilogy, well, he'll leap out the last second. Or is it that he, whatever left him out at the last second, or he accomplished his actual mission to save Abigail. He wasn't there to save her dad, just to save Abigail. And so he leapt out, and then the guy died. So it's they've never made it clear, and they can't really make it clear because, I mean, the only way to do that would be to kill off Sam or Ben.
Well, they have killed off Ben in the new series.
And then they rebooted.
There was the one where he was continually repeating the leap, the Groundhog Day sort of episode they had. But that was a special case, and it was a pre-programmed sort of situation. Because in season one, remember, they pre-programmed all leaps. It's only just season two where it's all random.
But I don't think that multiple leap was pre-programmed, because that seemed to be a surprise to them also. They kept redoing.
Janice seemed to know what was going on, though, and Janice is the one that helped Ben.
Yeah, they seemed like they were surprised, because by that point, I think they had it all leaps figured out, and they didn't have it multiple leaps in that one spot. So I think it was something else going on. Like I said, maybe that's what happens when you die leaping, you leap back and...
Well, there is the episode that can't be named as well.
Yep.
It's quite possible that Dev Al was going to kill Sam, and just as he's about to die, the leap gets reset.
Right.
There's that possibility. And it makes me wonder, you know, if Sam or Ben does fail on a leap, are they just going to leap back to the start and try it again? Because that would be interesting to know. It could be that, you know, there were 97 episodes of the original series, and it's pretty clear there are leaps in between that we don't get to see. But how many times has he had to attempt each one of those leaps to be able to get the success? And it's well worth thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about Promised Land, weren't we?
Yes, we were. We got a little sidetracked.
Yeah. Sorry, tangents of my life, as you know.
No, I'm there with you.
Yeah. But as for Promised Land, it's a sweet episode. Again, it's only somewhat Christmas adjacent. I think if you removed the date being at Christmas time, you know, you wouldn't really have any reason to believe it's a Christmas special. But I do think some of the themes of, you know, praying for miracles and then actually doing something to make them happen comes into play. And it is nice seeing Sam reunite with his dad very briefly. It would have been nice if maybe John could have seen in Sam's eyes that it actually was Sam, and, you know, have them have a little bit more of a meaningful conversation. But yeah, might have been a bit too difficult to suspend the disbelief there. I remember, I think it's Dennis, who was one of the hosts of Fate's Wide Wheel, was saying he was just finding it very difficult to suspend his disbelief with a lot of things in the new series. So, you know, every time they did stretch the lore out a little bit, I'm sure everyone had a little bit of trouble.
Well, they did that in the second episode, sort of, with Donna. Sam was saying that Donna could see into his soul, and she knew what his sandwich order was. And so, I mean, they already kind of played with that already. So, I mean, I don't know if his dad doing it now would have been so much of a stretch, since they already introduced the concept of the soul, you know.
They could have written it that he was very close to death as well, because I think he was. Maybe at the end of the episode, he suffers his heart attack and Sam rushes to his side or something like that. That could easily have been a way to do it. And then because he's so close to death, he'd be able to see Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously ways that we could have, you know, tweaked this around a little bit to our own preferences. But as it is, there's nothing wrong with it. It's definitely enjoyable to watch.
Oh, very much so.
What are your thoughts about the episode, Aaron? I haven't heard you say anything much about it.
No, I say it's a great episode. Like I say, I love... Like Michelle was saying earlier, the interaction with the pregnant bank teller and talking to the one that's banging the boss, and when they were talking, Sam's like, I want you to go out there and act like you're going into labor, and that one gal's like, you can't do that, and she's like, this really bothers you, doesn't it? Well, yes, it does. When do we get started?
Yeah, I like that.
Cracks me up every time. She's like, this really bothers you, huh? Let's do it.
Yeah,
I love their interaction between the two of them. Just, you know, very much. The one, you know, is banging the boss, and, you know, so she's very much the company gal, if you will. You know, the other gal's just working there, and she's just trying to get home at the end of the day, and she really doesn't like this other chick. So, yeah, I love their interaction. It's just fantastic. And, I did like the fact that, Sam was able to see his dad again and give him a hug and wish him a Merry Christmas before he leaps away to the next episode.
It would have been funny if seen a little scene afterwards of John telling a young Sam about this weirdo that he met up with in the village.
Well, by that time, though, Sam was probably gone, because this was like a year or two after
Yeah, he would have been 19, so yeah, he would have been away at university at that stage. Probably would have already had his first PhD.
Yeah. But I do like at the end of the episode when he leaps out, he leaps into the Tele2 Sweeties. We're watching that. Yeah. And Michelle's like, we see he gets hugs and kisses from the one wife and the kids, and then he goes to answer the courtesy phone, and his other wife and kids come, and they're like, Sam's got two wives? No, he's got two families. Just look on her face when she realized he leapt into a...
Did you watch that one?
No, we haven't watched that one yet.
All right, well, that's a fun one. You'll enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, any other thoughts on... Me and Hayes been doing most of the talking on this one. Have you got any thoughts on... Other thoughts on Promised Land?
No, I think you guys pretty much summed it all up, and I enjoyed it, so I don't have anything really to rip apart.
Other than makeup of John.
Yeah.
It must be Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle.
Well, between the two shows, Michelle found three episodes she really likes.
You know, The one thing when Sam was talking to his dad, and he wanted to say something, and then he thought differently, and how he just kind of played it off. To me, that was a really moving scene too, because it had to have been very difficult being Sam and, you know, not just, hey, dad, it's me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially because he has those guilts and that remorse for, you know, leaving and his dad passing and all of that. So I don't know.
Do you think there's any reason why Sam couldn't have just said to his dad who he was?
Other than they're still operating on the premise that everyone there needs to believe that he is who he's supposed to be.
Well, I don't think that's true, because Killing Time had already aired at this stage, and he'd told the mother and the daughter who he was in that one.
Right, but they're still under, they're, even though that happened, they're still operating under the premise that for the most part, everyone needs to believe he is who he says he is, or he's supposed to be. So even though that one did work out, I think maybe them at the project were thinking that, you know, maybe it was one off, maybe, you know.
Maybe. I think it's one of those things, if they've got the issue that if too much information about the future ends up in the past, then it could affect the future in ways that they don't want. I think there's a theory floating around that Becky from Killing Time has something to do with the Evil Leapers, because it wasn't too long after that, and after Sam spilled his guts under sodium pentothal.
Yeah, that's where most of it probably comes from, is that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there is the theory that, you know, these things that, these little tidbits that ended up left in the past might have some sort of an effect. The other one is the hand link that gets left in the past in the leap back.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, look, it's interesting to think about, but I can't really see Sam's father doing anything adverse.
No, I don't think Sam's, again, like, and like we said, he probably wasn't much for this world after this episode.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. But, you know, something that I thought about, I know we're talking about Promised Land, but just going back to It's a Wonderful Leap again, I think it's strongly implied that after the events of Mirror Image, that Sam is essentially leaping in the same ways like Unhalo and Storper were, just going there as themselves, trying to, you know, do their intervention and then leaving, but no one would remember them afterwards. Maybe he needed to experience those couple of things himself so that he could figure out, you know, how to do it himself.
That is one theory. I'm also wondering, now that they got the new series out, maybe it's he's leaping like Ben is, and he's actually just leaping into the people instead of replacing them.
That's a possibility too. Yeah. Because, I mean, nobody is leaping back to the waiting room. Right. If they had, then they'd be able to find him. Obviously, they haven't.
Even like I said on a post somewhere, maybe Sam's not leaping still. We're assuming he's leaping still. Maybe he found somewhere in time and just settled down and lived out the rest of his life.
If he's still alive.
Anything's possible. I mean, the writers, well, I mean, lived out the rest of his life till, you know, till his natural end or whatever.
And there's also the possibility too that after he dies, he just becomes an angel like Unhaler anyway and continues on.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just what he's going to do for all eternity.
Yeah, until the writers decide to address it. Yeah, it's just guesses at this point. But yeah.
I do hope that they, you know, settle whatever beef Scott Bakula has with the new show so that they can get him back. I think it's just a case of they need to make it a role that is appealing to Scott Bakula, not just a, you know, tiny cameo without any lines. You know, it needs to be a meaty role where he's going to have some sort of an effect on the entire episode that he's in, or episodes. I know they're trying. I just think they need to sweeten the deal a little bit. But at the same time, you know, he's earned his retirement, Scott Bakula has.
Right. And so I'd be curious to know the real why Scott doesn't want to do it, whether it's like I said, is he waiting for a good role in it, or is he just maybe not upset with Quantum Leap, he's done his time as Quantum Leap, he doesn't want to revisit the past at this point, or maybe it's a case of, like with Mark Hamill, he used to do the voice for the Joker in the animated Batman series, and after Kevin Conroy, the guy the voice Batman died, Mark Hamill came out and said, well, I'm not going to voice the Joker anymore since the guy I played against is no longer with us, I'm done, I'm going to retire doing that voice. Maybe it's the same kind of thing. Scott doesn't want to do it if Al's not there.
Yeah, that's a possibility too.
Again, I don't know if Scott has came out and said the reason why he doesn't want to do it, but you know, anything's possible.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our hopes up.
Yep.
I have a feeling somewhere down the track it will happen. But it might be like a season three, you know, cliffhanger sort of episode, right. And you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. But I think I'm all Christmased out for the time being. You have any final thoughts about Promised Land?
No, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, kudos for all three of the episodes I watched in the last 2 days have been great. I'm still enjoying the old series. Like, that's what it comes down to, is that it's just one of those series where it holds up and I love it. And I'm looking forward to watching more.
Awesome. Well, you have my permission to go and sit down and watch a couple more, and when you want to, we'll talk about those ones.
And since we've already ruined our original premise of, you know, her watching the whole thing fresh for the first time, we've already kind of shot that load.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't really help it once the new series came out.
They started the new season. It kind of, blew that out of the water, so.
And Hayden, what's your last thoughts on it? Anything?
Oh, just that it's a lot of fun to pull these episodes out in the silly season. Even if there's really only one episode that is Christmas, even the Christmas adjacent ones are good fun.
Right.
Nothing major to pick on. Yeah, we can say that some of the jokes wouldn't hold up today. Yeah, we could say that, you know, there are some issues with Ziggy that we could easily write around, or that, you know, we could have made a better scene with Scott or Sam and his father or something like that. But as it is, they're all great episodes, and always fun to pull out and enjoy when we're in the silly season.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron, what about you? What's your final thoughts on this?
Basically, like Hayden said, these are great episodes. You can watch them anytime. I mean, they do have the Christmas tie-in to one extreme or another. But they can be watched at any time. And these are episodes, as I said, most episodes I don't mind sitting down and watching, but these are really good episodes to sit down and rewatch again without, you know, oh God, this episode again. These are good episodes to sit down and watch. So, fantastic. So unless anyone has any other thoughts, I guess we're going to end the holiday season here.
So Merry Christmas to all, and to all have a good night.
Exactly.
Or whatever other holiday you plan to celebrate.
Merry Christmas, Happy Merry Kwanzaa, Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
Festivus, Happy Yule.
Enjoy stripping around the Festivus pole.
And running around in the beach.
Yes.
Happy holidays, basically, to everybody. And we'll see you in 2024 here on The Starbright Project.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to The Starbright Project. Join us monthly as we continue leaping with Sam and Al. If you like the show, I recommend buying Quantum Leap on Blu-ray. You can also watch it on the NBC website or app. The only thing on this show that Michelle and I own are our thoughts and opinions. NBC Universal own the rights to Quantum Leap, and any songs that we use are owned by their respective owners. Any clips we use, we're using good faith for the show. I know this doesn't excuse us legally, but we just want NBC to sue us. We're just big fans of the show and want to share that love with the world. For more podcasting goodness, check out the other shows on the Headcast Network. Head Speaks is released on the first Tuesday of the month, where I talk about comics, TV shows, movies, books, and whatever I want, but it's usually geek-related. G.I. Joe, Aurora Mocking Headcast, is normally out the second Tuesday of the month, where a rotating batch of guest hosts and I discuss the G.I. Joe comics and cartoons from the 80s. The third Thursday brings us Task Force X, where I talk about John Ostrander's Suicide Squad and Paul Kupperberg's Checkmate comics, both from the late 80s, early 90s. Finally, the fourth Tuesdays of the month, we have the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, where I examine the Will Payton Starman comic and the Mark Shaw Manhunter comics, again, both from the late 80s. Then on Thursdays, I release my second batch of shows, where Michelle shows up on most of them. The first Thursday of the month, I'll be releasing The Starbright Project, a Quantum Leap podcast, where Michelle and I look at the greatest time travel show in the late 80s and early 90s. Then the second Thursday of the month, look for Retrospect of the 80s. You guessed it, Michelle and myself take a time travel trip back to the greatest decade that was, in my opinion. The third Thursday will possibly, maybe bring another show, Voyager's Cast, where Michelle, I, and some guests look at the best time travel show from the early 80s. And finally, on the fourth Thursday of the month, I have Bravo Team, where myself and possibly some guest hosts talk about anything G.I. Joe related, not covering the main G.I. Joe show. Also, if you like what I'm doing, please check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/headcastnetwork. If you're enjoying my shows, throw a few bucks in the bin. It'd be most appreciated. But that'll do it for this episode. Join us next time to see where Sam ends up.
Oh boy.